food bloggers. Hi, how are you today? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Eat Blog Talk podcast. This is the place for food bloggers to get information and inspiration to accelerate your blog's growth and ultimately help you to achieve your freedom, whether that's financial, personal, or professional. I'm Megan Porta. I have been a food blogger for 13 years, so I understand how isolating food blogging can be. I'm on a mission to motivate, inspire, and most importantly, let each and every food blogger, including you, know that you are heard and supported. You all know how much I love talking about mindset and how important I think it is. I know it is. This episode was really exciting to record. My interview with Cheryl Norris, she is the food blogger behind Bakes by Brown Sugar, was so fun. I could have gone on and on talking to her. She talks about the core belief system and how our core belief systems are our fundamental beliefs about ourselves, others, and the world around us, and how these affect our businesses and our lives. We talk about how we need to just, first of all, be aware of what we're thinking and saying about ourselves. And Cheryl talks through a few steps that follow awareness that we can implement in order to take control of our thoughts and our words so that our beliefs about ourselves change. This will change your business and this will change your life. I promise. It is powerful stuff. Tune in. I hope you enjoy it. It's episode number 528, sponsored by RankIQ. eBlog Talk is thrilled to unveil the eBlog Talk Accountability Group, an exclusive community made for food bloggers who crave accountability, focus, and connection. We understand that not everyone is ready to dive into the Mini Minds group or the Masterminds program. That is why we've crafted this special offering for bloggers like you who want that extra push toward their aspirations but aren't yet able to make the financial or time commitment. Here is what the eBlog Talk Accountability Group has in store for you for this low introductory price of $34 a month. This ongoing membership has its own private Slack channel. You will gain access to a dedicated channel facilitated by the community manager at eBlog Talk, Taryn Soli, for questions, insights, and collaboration. You will get weekly accountability check-ins so you can stay focused and motivated with those weekly check-ins in Slack to track and achieve your goals competently. You will have access to productivity focus sessions. Join these optional live Zoom sessions twice a week to boost your productivity by working alongside your peers and tapping into that collective energy. And you will get monthly group Zoom calls replacing the former Clubhouse chats. Join these calls to connect, discuss current topics, share experiences, and celebrate achievements. Those calls will be hosted by me, Megan Porta, and I can't wait to see some of you there. If this sounds intriguing, head over to eatblogtalk.com/focus to sign up today. eatblogtalk.com/focus. Cheryl Norris is a food blogger in Portland, Oregon, where she lives with her husband. Her blog, Bakes by Brown Sugar, has been in business since 2018. She specializes in desserts with a focus on using seasonal and quality ingredients. In addition to running her food blog business, she works full-time as an engineer. She loves to travel, with Paris being her favorite place to visit. Hello, Cheryl. Welcome back to the podcast. How are you today?
Hey, Megan. I am doing great.
So good to have you for the second time around. 2022 was your last time on the podcast, so it's been a while. So good to have you back. We're going to talk about mindset today, mindset check-ins, and why we should be doing these consistently.
Yes.
Do you have a second fun fact to share with us before we get started?
I do. So my fun fact is about where the name for my blog came from. So last time I was on, I mentioned the fact that I had been on the Great American Baking Show. And on one of the days we were traveling to the studio to film an episode, I was talking to one of my fellow contestants about the blog, and I was trying to come up with a name. And, you know, we were just going back and forth. And he said, "What about Bakes by Brown Sugar?" And I said, "That's it. That's it. I don't need to consider anything else." So that's the origin. That's how the name of the blog came to be. A van ride to the studio to film the Great American Baking Show.
Oh, and it's perfect, right? Because when you hear something that you just know is right,
yeah,
it's just like, that's it. There's no other question.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I had no second thoughts about it. You know, sometimes when you think, oh, I'm going to go this direction, and then you like second guess yourself and you're like, oh, maybe it's not. Let me do some more research. Yeah, it was, I never had any second thoughts about it.
Oh, it was meant to be. It was the perfect name. And how funny that it came from a fellow contestant on a van ride. Like, that's so great. I love it. Great story. And I love the fun fact. Okay, we're going to talk about mindset today. Mm-hmm. Would you mind just refreshing people and giving a little bit of history on your blog, like when you started, if you want to mention the show you were on, just bring us up to speed.
Yes. Yeah, so the blog actually started with me sharing pictures on Instagram. And after doing that for a while, I said, hey, I want to share recipes. So I'm going to start a blog. How hard can that be? And so I filmed the show, Great American Baking Show, in the summer of 2018. And then I came home and started putting things into place to start my blog. I was originally supposed to launch the first week of October. And on September 29th, I broke my wrist, which delayed the start of the blog by a month. So the blog started at the end of October. Yeah, at the end of October 2018. And then in January of 2019, I said, I'm going to turn this into a business. I'm going to treat it like a business, because I went into it thinking about it and treating it as a hobby, just something fun to do. And you know, 3 months later, after thinking about it, I said, no, I'm going to start treating this like a business. And it has continued to grow. And I always tell people, if you had told me in 2017, I was going to be an entrepreneur, a business owner, I would have looked at you like you were crazy, because I had absolutely no interest in doing that. I don't consider myself a risk taker. I was perfectly happy working for somebody else, you know, working for a company where somebody else is making the big decisions. Yeah, but I'm so glad I did, and I don't regret it for a minute.
Oh, I love that story. Okay, so at what point did you realize, because I think we all get to the point where we're like, okay, I need to work on my mindset a little bit. I have to have my head in the right place, because this is no joke, right?
Yep.
At what point did you have that realization?
I wish I could say I always knew that. But so I took this mastermind course. It started at the end of 2022. And the first thing that the instructor was working on was mindset. And I was like, oh, why do we got to work on mindset? My mindset's fine. You know, just being real. But then as she was going over as we were talking about mindset and she was teaching about it, I thought, oh, maybe my mindset is not where it should be, you know, with regard to business and charging clients and different things like that. And so I found that really helpful to, you know, start changing my approach about what I believed about myself as a business person, about what I'm capable of doing. And so I did this mastermind, and it ended at the end of February. And funny enough, Joni Simon was just launching a course. And so, well, this is Joni Simon, of course I'm going to take it, right? And so Joni Simon starts the same thing with mindset. And I'm thinking, oh, I just did all that work. I'm fine. You know, I still did the exercises that she laid out, but I'm thinking, oh, I'm fine. And sure enough, I'm going through all this work. And, you know, Joni Simon took a little bit different approach, but with the same outcome. And I thought, as I was going through that, it's like, oh, I guess I'm not fine. I guess I need more work on this.
Yeah, more work to do. Yeah,
I need more work to do. And so it was just so interesting the way it just kind of happened back to back, because I had never taken back to back courses like that before. But it was so beneficial because it made me realize that mindset is something that you just have to constantly be working on. And even though I kind of knew that in reality, it really did not click until the end of last year, when I started this thing where anytime I had a negative reaction to something, I would stop and think about, okay, why am I having that reaction? You know, especially around business, I would really start to just personally just ask myself, okay, why am I reacting like that? Why am I hesitant or fearful or scared to do that? And that, you know, kind of, you know, as opposed to, yeah, let's go do that, more of that just hesitancy, and just really started doing the work or doing the practice, trying to understand why I was feeling a certain way about that. Cause that's where a lot of our actions come from, about how we feel about stuff. as opposed to what we know to be true. Like, we may know that, yes, we should charge for our work, but how do we actually feel about approaching that client and saying, hey, that's going to be $5,000?
Yeah. Do you have any examples for us? Like, what are some things that made you stop and say, whoa, why am I feeling this? Does anything come to mind?
Yeah. So this, and it's, I laugh about this because it took me so long to realize this. So when I first got into blogging, and even though, so this story starts a while ago, but it's relevant to your question. When I first got into blogging, everyone was talking about video. You got to do video. You got to do video. And I was like, oh man, another thing to learn.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just trying to like figure out how to write a blog post. I got to write video. And so for a long time, I would ask people like, how do you get started? And people were like, just do it, just do it. And so I would do video, but then the video was like really bad. And even the people who were saying, just do it, they were saying your first few videos are going to be bad. And so I would do it and the videos were bad. It felt like a struggle to shoot the video. I mean, and they weren't like complicated long videos, but it just felt like a struggle to do it. And I hated that feeling. And so I pretty much just shied away from video. I would do the little like 10-second reels of where, you know, you're doing the, you know, taking a piece of cake, you know, with the fork, sure, cake on the plate, yeah, and that type of thing. And then recently I took a video course. It was one-on-one training at the end of last year. And it became like 180 degrees for me with regard to my mindset about video. And I realized that for me, my best learning style is to understand, I have to understand the mechanics of how something works. It doesn't mean that I can execute it perfectly, but if I understand the mechanics, I feel more comfortable doing it, even if it means I'm making mistakes. And then all of a sudden I had this whole mindset shift about video because I understood the mechanics, but behind that was understanding this is my learning style. And understanding my learning style, I'm now approaching things differently and saying, that's a cool thing to do. Instead of saying, oh, another thing, that's a cool thing to do. Let me find someone who can explain the mechanics to me, as opposed to just going out there and trying to figure it out and then feeling frustrated and then say, oh, I don't want to do this. This is another painful thing for me to learn to do. I now understand this is my learning style. I'm going to embrace it. I'm not going to feel bad about it, you know, because other people are saying, oh, you can figure it out. You can go do it. Just do it. I'm not the just do it type of person.
I need more than just do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm telling the story because I want to encourage other people out there in the blogging world. You know, one of the things that can really help you about your belief system about you and how you're approaching this business is understanding what is your learning style?
Yeah.
How do you best learn? Because once I figured that out, it was like, oh, I feel so different about this now. So I'm embracing video. I'm excited to do video. I don't necessarily always have the time to do video, but my mindset has totally shifted about that because I understand who I am better and how I need to approach it. And when I look back over just years when I have like learned new things, that has been the constant. Once I like paid someone to show me the mechanics, you know, either one-on-one or group lessons. And once I understood mechanics, I was ready to go forth and do it. And I was okay with being bad at it because I understood the mechanics and I knew how to correct for it.
And for some people, it might be something different, right? It might not be understanding the mechanics, but it might be they don't want to be bad at it or they're afraid of how people are going to perceive them or something. But it's just getting to the root of that, like, why are you struggling with the pain?
Yes.
And getting to the bottom of the issue.
Yeah. And for me, I was uncomfortable because I didn't understand the why. Like, you know, when it comes to shooting video,
yeah,
I just didn't understand the mechanics. And that's why it was so uncomfortable for me, just the way my brain works, the way my personality works. it was so uncomfortable for me because it was, I don't understand how this works. Like, yes, I know how to hold a camera. I know how to push the on button. I know how to put food in front of the camera, but I just wasn't understanding how it all worked together.
Together.
On the technical side. Yes.
Right. So maybe that's where people start, is just pinpointing what their pains are, mm-hmm. what their pain points are.
Yep.
And the things that you want to literally run and scream, you run to the mountains, and all the while you're screaming or whatever. Like, those things are the things that you start with, I think.
I think, yeah, no, I truly believe that, you know, kind of going back to just that awareness of why this is painful for you, or why you're running from this, or yes, just.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then starting there.
Right. Yeah, because I think we all have those things as entrepreneurs that we literally just don't want to go to. Those places we don't want to visit. We want to run and scream. There's so many opportunities for it, honestly. Like you mentioned video, that's one teeny tiny piece of the puzzle. And there could be so many other things. Social media for some is a big pain point. Like, why are you avoiding social media? Getting to the bottom of that.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's like in, you know, our first conversation a while back when I was saying you don't have to do it all and it really depends on your goals. And it could be that, you know, in the long run, that thing that you've been avoiding, maybe it never becomes part of your business structure. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot of conversation about, do I need social media? It depends on your business.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to say that the pain has to be something you incorporate into your business. It doesn't necessarily. Mm-hmm. Some people survive without social media and Instagram, believe it or not.
Yep.
But just to address it and just to make sure that you are understanding why you're not doing it, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the core belief system? I know that's something that you've dug into. I don't know if a lot of people know what that is. What does that mean? Core belief system.
So the way I define it and the way I was taught is your core belief system is what you truly believe about yourself or about a thing. And it's often a combination of our thoughts about something and maybe our emotions surrounding it. So for instance, you know, we talked about video. So my core belief system for a video for a long time was it's difficult and I don't like the fact that I don't understand. I don't like doing it, or I don't have time to do it. It's just too much, or it's just, oh, it's just another thing I have to do. And when you have that belief on the negative side about something, you will never be successful at it. You know, if you are approaching it with, oh, it's just another thing I have to do, or I don't like it. If those are the words that are constantly coming out of your mouth or going through your brain, you will never feel successful about it. Another way to look at a core belief system, your core belief system is, and again, this is something I was taught and it is true. It's about the speed limit on our roads, right? So your core belief system is just that deep down internal part of you. So externally, you look at the speed limit on the road, and externally you say, yes, that's the law. Yes, you should obey the law. You're saying that externally, but internally you're thinking, and you're on the road and you're like, I can go 60, 65, no problem. I need to get to where I'm going. So there's the external piece of it that says you're saying, yes, that's the law. I should obey the law. But your core belief system says, I will go 65 when I need to go 65 or when I have the opportunity to go 65. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that analogy. That's a really great way of putting it. And you can apply this to so many things too. Mm-hmm. So not just the pieces of your business, but why you're feeling a certain way inside about anything, really, like anything personally. I can think of so many things right off the bat that affect this whole thing. I mean, I'm like going down a rabbit hole in my mind right now.
Yeah, no, like, so yeah. So externally, you know, people are telling you, hey, you're beautiful. And when I say beautiful, I'm thinking, you know, just your personality, you know, you're a kind person, you're smart, you're amazing, you're capable, you do all these great things. So people are telling you this stuff externally and you're nodding your head and you're saying, oh, thank you so much. But your internal dialogue is constantly, oh man, I'm failing at this. I'm not getting this done. Oh, why can't that person over there, they're like so successful. Look at all the great things they're accomplishing. Why can't I be like them? And you're just always constantly second guessing yourself and just thinking about, I'm always falling short. So again, you have that external dialogue where someone is complimenting you and you're like, again, nodding your head, but internally, you're just all focused on the negative, all the things you aren't accomplishing, all the things you aren't doing right. Am I worthy? Oh, I don't think I'm worthy. You know, it's just,
yeah,
that's your core belief system. And so it begins to express itself in how you talk about yourself. I remember I had this coworker, you know, to be honest, she was a super nice person, but she would pay me a compliment. She would say, oh, Cheryl, you're so smart. And I would be, thank you. And then she would say, and I'm not as smart as you. I'm like, why are you saying that? Aww. Like, she was like amazing at her job. And she would just say stuff. And I'm like, I'd be like, no, you're great. Why are you like...
Yeah.
Like, and you don't even have to compare us. Like, you can pay me a compliment. Yeah. I can say thank you and we can keep it moving. You know, like, you don't have to even compare us. It's like,
and that's something that she verbalized, but think of all the things that people don't verbalize, the things that just go on in their minds, the negativity. I mean, if I wrote a script of my entire day of what went on in my head, I think I would be appalled at the things that I think about myself and my life. And I really do try to keep tabs on that and keep it positive. But I think most of us can say that we have this negative script constantly going on in our heads, which is really sad, right? To think about that.
It is. And you know, and that's why with the core belief system, the first thing I think is awareness about what you're saying about yourself, because no one talks to you as much as you talk to yourself. You know,
so true.
Especially as food bloggers. I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter what field you work in, but you know, maybe even more so if you have a career where you're an entrepreneur and you're working by yourself a lot of the time, there's just a constant, like you said, there's a constant dialogue going on in your head. You know, you're working, you're like, oh, I can't get this done. Oh, why can't I figure this out? Oh, I'm not doing really good. Or, you know, it's just that constant thing. Or it's like, oh, I can't believe I was that stupid. I made that mistake again or something like that. Yeah, you're constantly talking to yourself.
Yeah. I noticed when I started doing more Zoom calls, when my business went from being more of a food blogger to more of, you know, the podcast side and the community and hosting masterminds and all of that, my negative scripts increased because I was always seen by people, like so many calls throughout the week. And I noticed that I was like, oh my gosh, why did you say that? Why did you wear that? You know, like I was really critical of myself because I knew people were seeing me more. And yeah, I just had to stop it. I came to that place that you're talking about where you're just aware because I couldn't go on like that. It was crazy. So I've shifted to this space now where I'm hyper aware of what I'm thinking and I stop it, like what you're saying right now, because if I don't, it goes wild, Cheryl. I mean, it can go like, it's so nuts what goes on in my head sometimes. Like, oh gosh, it just needs to stop. So yeah, I think when you're in the spotlight more and when you have more just visibility with humans, that is going to happen.
No, that I can see that. Yeah, because yeah, now you're up front, and if you're thinking, oh, people can see all my flaws, oh, I say too much, and people are going to count my ums.
Even just doing podcast interviews, and I hear the things I say. I mean, I've probably done it 10 times already, just in our chat. Like, why did I just say that? I said this again, and I have these little things that I do. I know I do them and they annoy me and I don't want to annoy everyone else. So this goes on in my head all the time.
Yes. And nobody else notices.
I'm sure everyone else is probably like, what?
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? You sound great.
Okay. So awareness is the first step. Like, okay, I need to stop being so critical of myself and stop the negativity. Where do we go from there?
Yeah. So with awareness, and that's why I said too, sometimes you stop yourself in your track when the thought comes to your head. So there's awareness, but then it's understanding, okay, what exactly am I saying to myself? Like, you know, you have this negative reaction to something. So awareness, but okay, what exactly have I been saying with regard to that? And what's the source of that? And if you journal, sometimes just writing this down as part of that awareness, okay, what exactly have I been saying? Because if I've been saying things like, I don't want to do this. Oh, it makes me tired. Oh, I'm no good at this. That manifests itself in terms of just lack of success. Because if you really don't want to do something, let's say someone gives you, here's these 5 steps for you to grow your email list. And if your reaction is like, oh, another thing I have to do, I don't have time, you're not going to grow your email list, at least not according to that formula that that person gave you. Because you've already defeated yourself by saying, oh, I don't want to do it. So guess what? You're either not going to do it, or you're going to maybe get halfway through those 5 steps and not finish it, or it's just going to be half-hearted. And then you're going to be like, I knew it. It didn't work.
I know. Yes, the words that we say are so powerful. Mm-hmm. I can literally speak negative things into existence in my life.
Yes.
If I'm not careful. And then you realize what you've done. And then you're like, holy crap, I just made that happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hello there, awesome food bloggers. Taking a really quick break to chat about Rank IQ. I love this keyword research tool, and you've heard me talk about how much it has helped to grow my traffic on my own blog, Pip and Ebby. I obviously love the traffic growth I've experienced, but I'll tell you about an additional reason I love this tool so much, which is how quickly I can publish a post compared to my pre-Rank IQ days. One, I don't do as much searching on the front end of the process of deciding on a keyword because there are so many ideas just waiting for me right inside the keyword library. Because of this, I dig into the writing portion really quickly and with laser focus. Two, I write each post with confidence because each keyword has been handpicked, promising low competition and high search volume. With other tools, I approach each keyword with hesitation because I really don't know how each one will perform or whether it's going to produce traffic for me. And three, the Rank IQ Optimizer is the best optimizer out there, no joke. It provides very specific words and phrases to use in my content. This makes the writing process go so quickly and smoothly as the optimizer acts as my guide, leading the way to a comprehensively written post. Go to rankiq.com to sign up and check it all out for yourself. Now back to the episode.
I have some more to say about that. So awareness and then discovering the source. Why am I thinking that? And so, you know, going back to that video example, you know, for me, I soon understood the reason I struggled with videos because I just didn't understand the mechanicals, the technical piece of it. And once I understood that, and then I got the exact help I needed, I was able to change my language around video. And then sometimes discovering the source, because it could be a whole lot of things. It could be the people you're hanging around with. Mm. It could be family dynamics. Yeah. You know, it could come from school. It could come from church. It can come from a variety of sources. So really understanding the sources, you know, like in the food blogging world, where we often, there's always that question of, hey, how much should I charge this client? And you tell someone now, and so I'm one of those people like, oh, you want me to shoot that video in exchange for product? Yes, I'd be happy to.
Yeah. Yes.
Or you want me to like promote your product on, you know, on Instagram in exchange? Yes, absolutely. So just want to clear that up.
Yes. And sometimes don't you think that can come from just a history of thinking that your whole life? Like it's a story you've been told either by your parents or you learned it really young in school. Somewhere you picked it up and you've carried those stories around. Like, I'm not deserving of being paid more than X amount of money or something like that.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's harder as a business person. So, you know, working for somebody, you know, as an engineer, it's interesting, you know, there's just like this pay scale that's established and it's kind of out in the open and people are saying, hey, if you're an engineer working in this industry, you should be making this pay range. And we don't talk about that so much in the food blogging world. And it's awful to say, but I think too, because this is such a female dominated space, I think that goes into it a little bit in terms of even the expectation of brands that if, oh, I'll just approach her and see if she's willing to do this in exchange for product. And we often say yes initially until we learn better.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, our industry is evolving so rapidly that there really aren't rules right now. Mm-hmm. It's just like we're all flying around just doing what we think is right. But yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And then even with us discovering the source of like, say that for me, it was understanding that I didn't have a true, genuine belief in my talents and my abilities. And so correcting that to say, yeah, I take really good photos. And, yeah. You know, in the future, I will take even better photos. But right now I'm taking good photos. And then the ones I'm taking 2 years from now will be even more amazing. But really understanding. And to me, I think that's the source of it. For me anyway, I was hesitant to charge was, oh, is my stuff really good enough for that? I would just think it is. You know, and being willing to say no, you know, can be hard because, and that's the other thing too, because there's this fear that, oh, if I say no to them, they may not come back or I lose this opportunity to connect. And so the other part, so part of that, you know, discovering that source for me was kind of that fear of missing out that if I say no to this brand about doing work for free or in exchange for product, that I'll lose this opportunity and maybe they won't like me.
That's big and deep right there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll be upset with me. And I don't know where that came from, but it was there.
Right.
And so then but one of the things that helped me, you know, that mastermind was coming up with a script where I could, you know, respond in a professional manner and, you know, say, hey, I don't do work in exchange for product. To protect the integrity of my brand, I'd be happy to work with you if you have a budget, but you know, being professional and being comfortable saying no and realizing that you say no to them, even if they don't come back, that has nothing to do with you. Absolutely nothing to do with you. It's about their business model. It's about their structure. And you know, the two of you are just on two different wavelengths and that's fine, but it has nothing to do with your value. Whether or not they like you, you just don't fit into what their structure is. Your business doesn't fit with their business.
And not to take it personally either, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
Because I think a lot of us can take that sort of thing so personally. And don't you think a lot of this just comes down to setting yourself straight and just digging a little bit and getting to the root of the issue and changing the script and realizing that the script you've been carrying around has been wrong and you just need to rewrite it.
Absolutely. And so that's the third piece of it is so you're aware that you've had this belief, understanding why you have that belief. And then the third part is what I call the breakup with that belief.
Ooh.
And figuring out, okay, how am I going to break up with this belief and turn it around? Because this belief obviously is not helping me. It's not good for me. It's in no way beneficial to me. It's holding me back. So how am I going to break up with it? And part of that is, so you made the decision, I'm going to break up with it. And so that part of that is now you've got to replace that belief with a belief that empowers you and sets you up for success.
Ooh, that's really powerful.
And so now you got to figure out, okay, what's that belief? What's that belief going to be for me? And so, I'm coming at this from, because I'm a Christian, so I'm coming at this from my Christian belief, from a biblical standpoint, because you were talking about how you literally spoke that thing into existence. And that's literally what the Bible says. It says the power of life and death is in the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the tongue can literally start a fire. I mean, think about how powerful your words are in your life, in someone else's life. Just thinking about when you have encouraged somebody. Like, even if you didn't feel great about yourself, like maybe you you were encouraging somebody else. You're like, yeah, go get it. And then you're thinking, I need to like believe that for myself because I just told this person, go do this thing. They're amazing. They're fantastic. I need to believe this thing about myself too.
Oh, I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. I pump people up all the time on the podcast and in my groups. And then I click out of the Zoom call and I think something terrible about myself. And I'm like, wait a second, mm-hmm. I can't do that.
No,
it's hard though. It's such an ingrained thing, sadly, for a lot of us, just to get into that groove of thinking these same negative things. It's like a pattern.
It is. And it's so interesting because I'm this small group, there's four of us and we chat, you know, we text all the time, personal things, business things. But when it comes to business, you know, someone will jump in the group and like, oh, I just had this negative experience. What am I going to do? And we're like, and you know, the other three of us are like, we're encouraging this person. We're saying, well, hey, maybe you can take these steps, but you're going to be fine because you do great work. Yes, that thing didn't work out, but you do great work. You remember that. And then I'm thinking, as I'm writing this, I'm like, I need to take this advice for myself.
Yes. Take note. I know. But at least you're aware, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not just glossing over it and not seeing it. You are aware of that. And that is the first step to making changes with your mindset.
Yeah, that's why I say awareness is so key. And so now you got this, you've got the awareness, you're understanding where it's coming from, what's driving that, you know, maybe just the emotion, because I don't know how people realize how much of what we do is driven by how we feel about something. And while our emotions are real, they're not necessarily a reflection of reality. So you can believe something, like maybe, you know, like, let's just like take it back to high school where someone told you, oh, so-and-so's talking about you and they said these horrible things about you. So now you're mad, you know, and while your emotions are real, the fact that that person, they never said those things about you at all. They're not sure, someone made it up just to get a rise out of you. And so, yes, but now you're mad at this person, you're not talking to them, you know. And so that's the other thing people need to realize, how much of what we do is driven by how we actually feel about a situation.
Oh, yeah, that's really good. So much, I feel like in my life, I can get so caught up in feeling and emotion that I just need to stop and say, where is this coming from? Why am I feeling like this?
Yep. And one of my favorite quotes that I heard years ago, tired eyes don't see clearly.
Oh, that's good too.
And so when you're tired, that's the worst time to make decisions.
So all the time, basically. I should never make a decision.
Well, and I think about that because last year, last August, I was very, very burnt out. I was just so tired. Aww. And I was questioning, like, do I even want to do this anymore? I don't think I want to run this blog anymore. I'm just so tired. And then I remembered that quote. I said, okay, I am so tired right now. This absolutely is not a good time to make a decision about the future of my blog, because I recognized I was just physically tired.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, wait a minute. I haven't even taken vacation this year. I need some vacation. But that's a good example of where, you know, when you're especially when you're physically tired, that's not the time to make big decisions.
Yeah. And that can be like burnt out tired. And it can also be, I didn't sleep well last night at all tired, right? So for me, there's different levels of that tired.
Yeah. You might need just go to bed. You may need a vacation. You may need some type of break, but yeah.
Yes, for sure.
We talk about replacing that belief with something that is life-giving, empowering. Part of that starts for me with, you know, what you're just physically saying out loud, daily affirmation. For me, that starts, you know, in the morning, I start my day with, you know, reading the Bible, with prayer, but then saying out loud those daily affirmations about what I believe about myself, what God says about me. And that's where my daily affirmations start with. It's obviously going to be different than somebody else. You know, maybe they don't believe in God or they have a different spiritual belief. But what are you, you know, starting that day with those daily affirmations, I think is so important. And even if you maybe don't believe them initially, saying them until you really start to believe them, and then just doing the work. Okay, why am I not believing this about myself?
Yeah.
You know, what's holding me back? But then continuing to say them, to write them down until you get to the point where you really, truly believe these things about yourself.
And that can take a while, right? It's not an overnight situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So years ago, our pastor had us do an exercise where we were to write down the Bible verses about what the Bible said about us as individuals. So I started the exercise and I was finding the verses And interestingly enough, as I was reading the verse, I was like, oh, that's not me. Aww. Oh, that's not me. So that first week, I didn't write down anything because as I was reading, I'm like, oh, I'm not there yet. You know, no, I'm not there yet. And so we come back. And I think the pastor knew this was going to happen because he was talking to us as a group. And so he started talking about the core belief system and what we truly believe about ourselves, maybe versus what the world is saying about us in a good way, or what people are feeding into us in a good way versus, okay, why do we believe what we believe? And so then it was a slow turnaround where I was able to start writing down those verses and accepting, okay, that's what God is thinking about me. That's great. Maybe I don't believe it at this point, but I'm going to write it down because it's true. I just got to get to the point where I believe it's true. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, that's powerful right there because you can hear it and you kind of know it, like intellectually you know it, but you have to get to that place where you believe it.
Yes. Yeah. And part of that too is just, so there's that verbal affirmation, but then you actually start doing it. So maybe in your business life, you're saying, maybe part of your affirmation is, I'm a well-organized person. So you start doing those things to help you be organized. So maybe it's taking really good notes. Maybe it's being really fit, you know, maybe it's daily planning out your day and writing out that one thing you're going to get done. Maybe it's, you're going to say, hey, I'm going to respond to my emails. I'm going to set aside some time to respond to all these emails, you know, at the end of the day, you know, just part of that, whatever it looks like for you to be organized. Mm. You know, maybe it's reorganizing your kitchen. You know, as a food blogger, you go in and you reorganize your kitchen. So you, everything is in a logical place to make you more efficient, you know, as you're doing recipe testing, whatever that organization looks like for you.
And do you believe that confidence is a plays a role here too?
Yes. Learning how to do something.
And just being confident in your ability or whatever your struggle is or your pain point, just trying to build up your confidence in that area so that you start believing better things about yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of that is not being afraid to make mistakes. So I think about baking as a food blogger. I'm always making mistakes. My friends are so funny because they'll say, Cheryl, you never like have bad bakes. I'm like, oh, yes, I do. You just never see them. Like, I'm not going to give you a cake that I don't think is good. And even my husband will say, Cheryl, that cake is fine. Babe, that cake is fine. And I'm like, no, I can't serve this to anybody.
Oh, that's funny.
But the thing of it is, in terms of, you know, being confident, part of that is, for me, the confidence is not coming from it being perfect. The confidence comes in, oh, I'll figure this out.
Mm.
So this, maybe it's the first time I'm making something and I don't know how it'll turn out and it doesn't turn out great. But my confidence comes in the fact that I know I'm going to be able to figure this out. You know, I was trying to come up with a base cupcake recipe that I could then just kind of take and modify different flavors. It took me 8 times. I had to make that recipe 8 times to figure out just the right ratio of event, you know. But if I hadn't been confident in my baking abilities, after the second time, I would have been like, I can't do this. The cake keeps falling in the center. It looks like it's ugly. It's not tasting right. But I was confident that, okay, I know I'm going to figure out, I know it's about the ratio of ingredients. So I'll just keep tinkering with it till I get it. And the 8th try, I got there. But so, yeah, so part of that is that just confidence that you know you'll get there.
Yeah, I love that. I wrote it down. So not necessarily the confidence about the skill or the thing you're trying to improve, but the confidence that you can figure out what you need to figure out.
Yeah. And I tell people that, you know, like with pie dough, like for instance, it took me years to get to make good pie dough. And so I tell people, you know, when they're making pie dough for the first time, I said, maybe you'll mess it up the first few times, but you will get there where, oh yeah, okay, now I can make good pie dough. It took me, you know, a few tries to get it right. But I feel like that's, at least for me, that's always been the case for baking. Anytime I'm learning something new, it takes me a few tries to like where, okay, I got it now. It's good, but yeah. It takes me a few tries, but I'm confident in my ability to figure it out. So yeah. I keep going until like, I know I'm going to get this because I know it's possible to do this well. I just got to practice till I get there.
Yes. Yep. Keep at it. So if I am wondering if there might be people listening who aren't aware that maybe they need to work on their mindset. So what things should they be on the lookout for?
That's a really good question. I think if you feel like you're struggling and you're not making progress the way you want to, I think that's a good place to start to say, okay, what are you saying about yourself? What are you thinking about that situation? And then some things sometimes are out of your control. Like for those of us who got hit by the Google update,
yes.
You know, sometimes there's that, you know, like it happens. And so like, okay, my blog traffic is not where I need to be. Okay. What's going to be my strategy? How do I feel about that? How do I feel about the fact that my traffic is down? Do I feel great about it? No. Am I bummed about it? Absolutely. But how do I feel about the business overall, about what I'm doing? And I love aspects of my business. I love the recipe creation. I love the photography. So I'm definitely going to keep doing it and then understand, okay, what changes do I need to make? And for those of us who are like, you know, like just feeling bad about it, it's okay to feel bad about the loss of traffic. That is normal. But be careful about that translating into you feeling bad about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And it's easy for that to translate.
Absolutely.
Like, well, what's wrong with me? Why did this happen? And then you start blaming you. And before you know it, you have all these scripts written in your head that you're saying about yourself that aren't true.
Yeah. And then other ways to be aware of that is the next time you're struggling with something, be aware of the words you're saying to yourself. Are you saying, oh, I'm so stupid. I can't believe I didn't figure that out. Because I've said that and my husband has corrected me. He says, don't say that about yourself. And I was like, you're right. Or are you saying, you know, or if you're struggling with something, oh, I'm never going to figure this out. Or do you say, you know what? I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. I'll come back to this tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say right now for people who are just becoming aware of the whole mindset, start really paying attention to what you're saying to yourself. We all deal with stuff every day. I mean, it could be something as simple as you doing, if you work out on a regular basis, what are you saying in that moment when the workout becomes hard? Are you saying, okay, my body, you know, my mind's going to give out before my body, this is what I say to myself. My mind's going to give out before my body will. So I'm going to keep going because I already know, like mentally, I'm ready to stop, but physically I can keep going.
Yeah, that's a really good example. Yeah, just what are you in the habit of saying or thinking in times of distress, like when you're in a workout, that's not super fun all the time or easy. What are you saying? Are you encouraging yourself or are you telling yourself that you can't do it?
Yep.
Yeah. Just being aware. So maybe people could just note the things that they're thinking as they go through their day for a few days and just like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know I was saying that to myself about my workout or about getting on an interview or whatever it is. And then kind of learning about yourself from there.
Yeah. Or just even when you're maybe a brand has approached you and you're trying to come up with a number, let's say your number is, $6,000 by the time you add up everything, your hours, the deliverables. Are you saying, oh, they're never going to pay that?
Yeah.
Or, oh, they probably don't have that much money. Those are limiting beliefs because one, you don't know that they're not going to pay that. You don't know how much money they have unless they've actually said, hey, my budget is $4,000 up front. You don't know truly what they have or what their budget is, but you've already limit yourself. And so you might say, okay, they're never going to pay $6,000. So I'll drop it down to $4,500. Like you've have cut yourself out of $1,500. Like you have wrestled with yourself and lost.
Yes.
Right there. Like you haven't even presented it to the brand yet. And you're already saying, okay, I'm going to cut my fee by $1,500.
Right.
And you haven't even had the discussion with them about it. And you know, they might come back and say, hey, we only have $4,000. And let's say, oh, okay, well, let me rework those numbers. Let me rework the deliverables. But you know, if you've taken yourself out of the race before you've even stepped up, that's a very limiting belief. And that's a good example. Like if anyone's in that situation right now where you're trying to come up with an estimate for a brand, are you telling yourself they're never going to pay that? That's too much money. What if they say no? Again, that can be a limiting belief because you're afraid of that word no, which again, I've been there. And so you're afraid to present that. But I say, you should always be willing to present a bid that makes your heart pound. Like when you hit that, you know, when you hit the send button or the return button on the email.
That's good advice, yep.
And your heart is like, oh my gosh, that is so much money.
Freaking out just a little bit is good. Yeah. That's a good sign.
Yeah, that's a good sign that you're like super, super nervous about it. Yeah. That's a good sign.
Yeah. Oh, this is so good. I think this is such an important topic. I know that you all hear me talk about mindset a lot on this podcast. And I think a lot of people automatically assume that they don't need it. Like you were, Cheryl, back in whatever year that was when you were like, I don't need this. Mm-hmm. What are they talking about mindset for? I was there too once. But having been through a lot of years of being an entrepreneur, I have seen the power of it. My business has grown because of mindset, leveling up with my mindset and just tapping into it. My numbers have grown, my revenue has grown, my friendships, my networking, everything grows once you start paying attention to this. So stop dismissing it, embrace it, know that you do need to work on it in order to grow your business and to be just a healthier person in general, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's so important. And I will not stop talking about it because it is so important.
No, and for people who might want to dismiss it as a like a woo-woo type of thing. Again, think about it. You know, again, going back to like doing brand work, if you have ever been in the situation where, again, you're afraid to tell a brand, hey, this is going to cost $6,000, then you need to do mindset work.
Yeah. So like we mentioned, there's so much opportunity for us to do this mindset work and level up in little areas of our business and in big areas of our business and just in being a human, just mm-hmm. existing as a human who interacts with people daily, families and loved ones. You need mindset work.
Yes.
Trust me, it's a constant process. We all need it.
Yes,
not just you and you and you and Cheryl, but all of us.
Absolutely.
We all need it.
No, it's a daily thing. And yeah, one of the things I've actually started on is envisioning what I want my week to look like.
Mm.
So it's a little bit different than what I've been doing where I kind of plan out my week and say, oh, I'm going to do this and do that. But I'm trying to take a step back and what do I want my week to look like? And how do I want to feel throughout the week?
Mm, like, I like that.
Does that make sense? Like I have my to-do list, and, you know, like I'm really good at to-do lists, but I've started to really think about what will my ideal week look like? And then I'm trying to get it to where like, that's my ideal week every week, but I'm just taking it week by week. So right now, just what's my ideal week for this week?
No, I think that's really smart because it's bite-sized chunks. You can deal with a week, what you want your week to look at. Sometimes I do my year. What do I want a year to look like? Someone just prompted me the other day to think 5 years ahead. And that was really weird for me. But it was really cool. Like if you could look back and tell yourself what your life had been over the past 5 years, that sort of thing. And that really does start to shape your mindset and just knowing the things you want to happen in a certain time frame. I think it's really good to get into the habit, even if it is just a week like you do or a day. What do you want your day to look like?
Oh, absolutely.
Start there. Yeah.
Yeah. When I did goal setting at the beginning of this year, I started it with, what are the 50 things I want? It was an exercise I got from somebody else. I think, Cliff Ravenscraft. Yeah.
Oh, on your show. Yes.
Yeah. And so I did, what are the 50 things I want? No judgment. And so I just like did the whole thing and I had to stop myself from judging myself because I was like, I don't know. That just seems kind of like, you know, out there or I don't know. It seems kind of selfish.
Yeah. Right.
But I know I did it and it was really fun because then I really kind of that what I want by the end of the year, what do I want in 3 years? What I want in 5 years? It really starts to get your mind.
It does.
Just going in that direction. And then what is it going to take? Yeah. What is it going to take to get there?
Yep. Oh, I feel like we could go on and on. This is such an important and fun topic to talk about. Thank you for bringing this to the table. Is there anything you want to mention quick before we start saying goodbye, Cheryl?
No, I think this was a really fun conversation. And I appreciate the work that you've done talking about mindset and self-care. I really think it's such a huge part of our business that often gets ignored, but it really does lay the foundation for our success in business.
Yes. Oh, Amen to that. I so agree, as you know. I appreciate you bringing this to the table just with a little bit of a different spin than what I normally talk about. We, speaking for everyone, appreciate all the stuff that you talked about today. So thank you, Cheryl, so much for being here.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure to chat with you again.
Same. I feel the same talking to you too. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, so great. Do you have a favorite quote or words of inspiration to leave us with today?
Yeah. So is what I said earlier is that the power of life and death is in the tongue.
Yep. I'm glad you pulled that out because it is so true. Be careful what you say. Use caution. We'll put together another show notes page for you, Cheryl. If you want to go look at those, head to eatblogtalk.com/bakesbybrownsugar2. Tell everyone where they can find you, Cheryl.
So yes, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest at Bakes by Brown Sugar. It's the same for all three.
Awesome. Everyone go check out Cheryl's stuff and her amazing content. And thank you so much for listening, food bloggers. I will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eat Blog Talk. Don't forget to rate and review Eat Blog Talk on your favorite podcast player. Thank you, and I will see you next time.